So the title of this message, we've been studying two chapters. We started with chapter 3, and I did a message that God put on my heart. I called it Wet Feet Faith. Wet Feet Faith in chapter 3. I don't have time to this morning to go back and re-preach it, but there was three requirements in order for you to get across your Jordan or my Jordan or the Jordan that the people of Israel had to cross over. That Jordan represented everything from health challenges to relationships to financial to marriage, whatever it may be. Everybody faces a Jordan. Can you say amen? Everybody will face a Jordan. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Amen? Everybody will. Maybe you're facing one today. And so there's three things that God required the people of Israel as they were trying to claim the promised land that God had spoken over to them. They've been wandering around. Once again, if you go back and read Joshua 1, Joshua 2, Moses has died. Joshua's a new man. He was one of two men that went and spied out the promised land, came back with a good report. God allowed all of the old folk to die off because all of them were whining and complaining and didn't believe that God actually was going to follow through on the promise. And so here's Joshua. Joshua's standing between the promised land and where they're at is the Jordan. Amen? This big old honking, raging river. And so God said, do three things because I've given you the land. I've made the promise. He said, first of all, you have to make sure you pursue the presence of God. Remember that message, that follow the ark. Where the ark goes, you go. Ark doesn't go, you don't go. Don't get ahead of God. But make sure that you follow the presence of God. Second thing he says, purify yourself. If you're going to follow me, you have to walk in purity. Amen? Can't have a bunch of mixture. You can't cross over the Jordan when you got a bunch of junk in your trunk. Amen? That's Tim's version of it. But the Bible said, purify yourself. And then the last thing we talked about in chapter 3, wet feet faith, is that if you are going to claim, if you're going to get across the Jordan, you have to be willing to put your feet in the water, even though it doesn't look good. Amen? Faith without what? Works. Faith without works is, it's dead. Amen? In other words, you gotta call those things that are not, that's called faith. But God is also requiring you and I to put some work in our faith. We can't just sit there and complain and whine and look at all the obstacles. And so that's what God's people did. God obeyed the word of God. God obeyed what chapter 3 said as Joshua was telling the story. Chapter 4, real quick, the title of that message was Ring the Bell. And so there was something significant about God's people ringing the bell or building a memorial. Hey, I got a cool little story. If you remember during that message, I shared about what they asked cancer patients to do. They asked cancer patients at the end of their chemotherapy to do what? Ring the bell. Why? Because number one, it was an encouragement for the person that's ringing the bell and their family and all the people that walked through a very traumatic period in their life. But number two, it was also a signal to all the other men and women that are still in the chemo chair back there. Remember that? It encourages them. It strengthens them. Hey, God, if you can do it for her, if you can do it for him, then maybe you can do it for me. Amen? It builds faith. And so right after that story, my daughter, Sophia, she's in gymnastics. And I didn't know they did this. And so she loves gymnastics. And I'm thankful for gymnastics because it gets more energy out of a very, very active 9-year-old. And so she's been only at it for about 6 months. And she has been petrified of doing some of the moves. For example, doing a front roll. I can't roll, so I can't even relate what that looks like, right? But doing a front roll on your head. She's been petrified of doing some backflips. And so on this particular Thursday night, after hearing this message, she did a move that she had never done before. And she flipped across the mat, and we got it on video. And guess what they made her go do? Ring the bell. I was like, how cool is that? What did it do for that little girl? What did it do for that little girl? Man, she had a big old cheesy grin on her face. She said, I did it. I finally did it. Because she heard all these other girls ringing their bells when they accomplished things. And then the second thing it fired all the other girls up. They broke out in spontaneous applause for her because she accomplished a new skill. I was like, man, Sometimes the people in gymnastics have more spiritual insight than the church does. Hello? So I want to share, I just want to encourage you this morning. I want you to ring your bell like never before. Why? Because it's going to encourage you. And why? It may just encourage somebody else. All right. That was chapter 4. Key word on that was remember. So here we are, chapter 5. Ah, they made it over. They built the memorial. They got the 12 stones. They walked across the Jordan. God saved them. God supernaturally pushed back the water. God supernaturally rescued them from Egypt. God supernaturally allowed them to wander around, to get rid of all the complainers. God supernaturally sustained them. Ah, they made it. Ah, it feels so good. So the title of this message is, We Made It. Write that down. So now they're standing in the land that God had promised, Canaan, the land of milk and honey. Wow, look around. This place is beautiful. This place is amazing. 40 years it took us to get here, and we're here. The problem is there's only two men. There was only two men that survived, two fighting men that survived the last 40 years. Joshua and Caleb. That's it. Only two men. Only two men survived that 40-year journey, that 40-year nightmare in some cases. And so I don't know about you, but, you know, I was kind of chuckling at some of our new moms and new dads. Sky has got a brand new baby, and some of the other young parents who went to a leadership weekend last weekend. Mark and Anna have a somewhat of a new toddler, right? They're getting ready to have a new baby, amen? I just pray she didn't have it on stage, so that was the only thing I was worried about. We've got other new moms and new dads, and have you ever, like, if you can remember when you had, when Angie and I had Sophia and Jasmine, how many know going on small trips is just a pain in the rear? Like, you got, we would get invited, hey, let's go out to the beach for a night, and we can just hang out there. And Angela and I would look at each other, and we're like, let's see, we got to pack a diaper bag, a pack and play, a stroller, toys, food, clothes, and we're like, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. It's too much work. Have you ever said that to yourself? Like, they're like a free, Paco's like, yes, like a free like a free night at the beach, like a free vacation. And you, moms, can you relate? You're like, no, that's too much work. We're just going to go out there for a little while, and then we're going to come back home. Amen? It's sort of like whenever you go on vacation. If you've ever gone on vacation, you've taken a long airplane trip. And you've had to switch planes. You've had to eat basically nothing because they don't serve you anything anymore. You had to endure airports. There's crowded people. Now you got to wear 15 masks on the plane the entire time or you get in trouble. You had to get to the airport. You had to load your luggage. And if you're like my wife, she is an amazing procrastinator. Literally, she's packing like at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. For some reason, ladies, that's when your brain works the best. I don't know. I don't get it because I'm tired and I just want to go to bed. And I yell at her to turn off the light. She says, I'm still packing. So you go to bed and then I go to bed. But how many know there's so much work? There's so much work to get to know where you're going, where you want to go, and man, this amazing vacation trip. And then when you finally get there, what do? I just want to go to sleep. Can anybody relate? Can anybody relate? Like, I just want to rest. Yeah, but you can go and ride bikes and go for a walk and da da da. Actually, I just want to take a nap. Anybody? I just want to take a nap. I want to take a nap. Well, I got four keys I want to pull out of chapter 5. That God immediately, soon as they had crossed over, God immediately said to the children of Israel, I want to do a few things. I want you to do a few things. And so here, I want to jump into this. Are you in Joshua 5? Let me get my Bible fired up here. Joshua 5, it says, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross. They lost heart. Come on, if you underline things in your Bible, underline that. They lost heart and were, what? Paralyzed. They were paralyzed with fear because of them. This is interesting. So this is just a bonus note for you. So those two groups of people represented the godless groups, the godless part of the society, the godless tribes. And so God put the children of Israel right in the middle. Remember, there was a place called Gilgal. Remember that? And so God put the children of Israel right in the middle of where the most godless people, the people that hated God the most, God said, set up camp there. Amen? Isn't it interesting how you and I, how God doesn't oftentimes, he'll somehow remove obstacles out of our lives. He did it for the children of Israel. He dried up this river. He dried up the Red Sea. But he will not remove the enemies from our life. Man, I've been chewing on that all week long. God, why didn't you just kill them? Maybe it's just me. I'm like, God, why did you brought me all this way. We finally made it. And now what? You're setting me right in the middle of my enemies? Can't you just kill them right now? Can't you just slay them? You can do it, God. Have you know there's people in our life, I'm not going to go too deep in this. There's people in our life that over the course of our life that I'm thinking, man, God, it would have been a whole lot easier if you would just kill them. Hello? Just kind of move them. Move them to another state, amen? Move them to another city. Can you just move them to another department? They are really getting on my nerves. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, man, God, you got it. Somehow you're all-knowing, all-powerful. Can't you just do something with the enemies in my life? But hey, I want you to know that God always, throughout the entire Bible, I was reading story after story after story, God always uses the minority. God always uses the little man. God always uses the small team in order to impact the big world. Amen? So even though the children of Israel were facing a giant enemy, even though the children of Israel were facing a giant amount of people, God was with them. God was with them. God was with them. I believe that is prophetic over a house like never before, that God is with Jubilee like never before, that even though you and I in the church, we all will continue to face enemies, we all will continue to face obstacles, but my prayer, God, is God, I just put a table right in the middle of my enemies. Why? Because Psalm 23 says it. I've been rehearsing it. I've been writing it down. I've been declaring it over me, my family, my house, my church, my community. I'm like, come on, bring it on, God. But I also know it's going to require W-O-R-K, work. Amen? It's going to require work. We were doing homework, and thank God her teacher's not hopefully listening. We were doing homework this week, and I was getting ready for this message, I thought about this. And my very creative, once again, my creative daughter, every night they have to do some kind of spelling exercise. So in this particular case, she wanted to write her words down, and then you had to write them in different fonts, right? Small, big, medium. But that was the whole exercise, 25 words. And so what she decided to do is rather than actually me reading the words and then her having to spell them, instead she said, hey, Alexa, spell this. No, it's not. It's smart, actually. It is smart. I give her that. And so she was about 12 words into a 25-word list, and Angela and I, we both collide at the dining room table, and we're like, what in the world are you doing? I'm doing my spelling words. You're not doing your spelling words. Alexa is doing your spelling words. You're not learning diddly squat. Shut that thing off. She says, well, you didn't tell me that I couldn't. I'm like, my Lord, help me. Help me. The point is that it takes work, y'all. It takes work. If you and I are in the promised land, God didn't promise us to sit ye. God said, go ye, amen? In other words, roll up your sleeves and get busy. For you see, what makes God omnipotent is not that he moves our enemies, which we all have. What makes God omnipotent is that he makes your enemies impotent. We already won. They can't harm you. They can't harm us, amen? They can't win. We already won. Four things I want you to write down. Go to verse 2. At the time the Lord told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the second generation of Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at the hill of foreskins is what that word means. Ooh. Sorry. Where do you live at? No, I won't even go there. That's bad. Oh, verse 4, let's keep going. Joshua had to circumcise them because all, how many men? Shout it, how many men? It said all the men who were old enough to fight in the battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Verse 5, those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus, once again, out of Egypt, during the years in the wilderness, had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in the battle when they left Egypt had died, for they had disobeyed the Lord. Can I just tell you, let me just put a pause on this. If you and I choose to disobey the Lord, there are consequences. Amen? There are consequences. Well, I can just do whatever I want and then at some point I'll get saved. Maybe. But in the meantime, you may get arrested, right? You may be divorced. You may be single for the rest of your life. I don't know. You name it, amen? If you disobey the word of the Lord, there are consequences. In this case, all the generation of men, they did what? They died. Let's keep going. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Thank goodness. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today, somebody shout today. It says, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, so that place had been called Gilgal to this day. And while the Israelites were camped at Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho, they had a massive party. They celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. First thing that you and I must know that once we've arrived, once we finally made it, is we still have to obey God's word. Amen? Come on, you got to work with me, church. Sometimes when we make it, when we thought we have attained a certain level, whether it's in our job, whether we found some kind of smoking hot wife or a gorgeous husband, whenever we've had two perfect kids, whenever we're making all the money that we have, when everything is going right in our life, somehow we think that we did it. Somehow we forget the very God that through our obedience unlocked the ability for God to bless me. Amen? Hey, listen, this is not an opportunity, although I should take it for a second offering, but I'm just telling you, you can insert any area in our lives. Let me just start with giving. Somehow, some way, and I've heard this before, and I've even believed that God, if you can just somehow make me win the lottery, I don't play, by the way, but somehow, God, if you can make me win the lottery, I'll tithe and build the church. Well, if you're not tithing on the $100 that you make per week, you won't tithe on the $10 million. Amen? Are you guys with me? There's principles there, right? Obey the word of the Lord. It's not complicated, y'all. We make it complicated, but God's word is really not that complicated. Can I have an amen? Just insert every area. The Bible says whether it's about tithing, whether it's about serving, whether it's about love. Can we just talk about forgiving? God says forgive how many times? 70 times 70 times 70 times 70, but I'm not going to do it to her. I'm not going to forgive him. I'm sorry, but there were no asterisks in the red letters. Amen? The Bible said do what? It said to forgive. To forgive. When we don't, we lock ourselves up. And that's why we have to have Freedom Weekends, to set people free from wounds and hurts. They had a session last night on father wounds. And they said there wasn't a dry eye in the building. Women getting set free of father wounds. I've talked about it for our Men's Freedom Weekend. Number one thing is father wounds, oftentimes. So I'm just telling you, if we can somehow, when we finally made it, if we can realize that, God, I must obey your word. For you see, thank God that we don't live in a day in which we have to have a circumcision altar call. Okay, I got one amen from one guy. I mean, I'm thanking God that I'm not in the circumcision business as your pastor. Amen? However, there is a circumcision in the New Testament, the new covenant that God requires. It's called your heart. My responsibility, your responsibility as a believer is to make sure this heart is circumcised to the word of the Lord. Amen? God, fillet it open. Have your way in my heart this morning, God. God, fillet it open. Get the junk out of my heart this morning. Amen? I don't want to carry around any longer than I have to all the baggage, all the wounds, all the hurts, all the wouldas, the shouldas, and the couldas. Amen? I leave it behind me, God, because you can circumcise my heart. That is a sign of a new covenant. Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is, what? In heaven. In other words, we are dual citizens. The Bible says that we're here, we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. In other words, there's this tension, you and I as believers, right? How do I live in the world, but not of the world? And so if we're going to obey God's word, then what comes out of our mouth, what comes out of our living, what comes out of our giving, what comes out of our serving, what comes out of our relationship, it has to line up with the word of God. Because why? We're dual citizens. I'm a child of the King, amen? But I live on earth. Hello? I'm a child of the King, but I live on earth. So that means I got to know where my home is. I got to know that it's both in the world and in heaven, but I can't look like the rest of the world, y'all. Are you with me? Thank you, John Mobley. I'm trying. Number two, I got to hurry. Number one thing, we've got to obey God's word. When we have finally made it over to our promised land, we got to obey God's word. Second thing is, we have to have a diet change. We got to change our diet. Come on, let's get to that part. Go to verse 11. It said, and then the very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread, roasted grain, harvested from the land. This is awesome. If you underline the things in your Bible, underline this. It said, no manna appeared. What? Are you serious? God, you have cut me off? Yep, God cut him off. God cut them off. It said, no manna appeared on the day that they first ate from the crops of which we're at? The land. Shout, the land. God shut them off, shut off manna from heaven that has been feeding this group of people for 40 plus years. And what did he do? Whenever they started eating from the very land that God had promised, that's when he cut them off. Let me finish. It said, no manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. Why is that so significant? Because now that you're on the other side, God is changing your diet. I believe he's changing our diet as men, as women, as sons, and as daughters. They went from surviving. They went in survival mode. They went in hunker down mode. Do you know that one of the, and I think the story is still being told, I think one of the biggest tragedies coming out of the last 18 months with COVID, I think will be the toll that it's taken on people's mental and spiritual well-being. We've lost a lot of people. People have died way too soon. COVID has wrecked families and communities, and we've had people die in our church and even family, immediate family members.
But I don't know yet if we truly know what the impact is going to be on the emotional and the spiritual part of people's lives. I really don't know. We have an opportunity, though, y'all. We have an opportunity to insert ourselves into the lives and the hearts, into the well-being of people that we know, to make sure that they move from survival mode to truly thriving mode in their mind, their heart, their soul, their body. Amen? We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to take heaven and move it into earth through our words, through the word of God, through the supernatural presence of God, laying hands on people. Amen? We're speaking words of declaration, giving stuff away. So you may say to yourself, well, Tim, I don't know if we should be giving all this stuff away. Shouldn't we be asking something in return? The answer is absolutely no. Why? Because I want to use all the stuff that's being donated to us. I want to use all that stuff to unlock the hearts of people. Amen? That have been bound up, that have been scared, that have been living paycheck to paycheck. They didn't know where this was coming or that coming. I want to bless them with a vacuum cleaner. Amen? I want to bless a homeless person. We donated, and I mentioned earlier, we donated like 4 boxes of over-the-counter medicine to the Health and Hope Clinic on Olive Road. They were crying over that donation. So thankful. Why? Because they're serving a population that in their own ability, they wouldn't have the ability to give it. And so I just said, hey, use us, use our house, use our church, use our generosity in order to bless others. Amen? I don't know about you, now that we're on the other side, I want God, Father, I want you to open up your heavens like never before over our church, over our community, over the homes of our house that make up this incredible church, and bless us, God. Not so I can buy a fancy car, which, by the way, I don't drive a fancy car. It's a 2008 truck with 170,000 miles on it. And my wife, Keith, tells me, oh, I'm going to buy you a new car. Ooh, I'm going to buy you a new car. And I told her, I bind you, Satan. I don't want no car payment. Can I have an amen? I don't want no car payment. My truck is paid for. I'm going to run it until it doesn't run anymore. Can I have an amen? I just know that God is changing our diet. God is changing, rather than us having to be in survival mode, God is moving us to now the thriving mode. Amen? I speak that over our house. I speak that over your homes. I speak that over our church. I'm thankful for the last 35 plus years that God has sustained us supernaturally. I'm thankful for the last 35 years that God has moved mightily through our house. I'm thankful for the last 35 years of all the lives and the homes and the places that we've gone. I'm thankful for all the men and the women that have come through and we minister at this altar. But I'm also saying, God, what's next? What's next? Thank you for your miraculous power, God. Thank you for your provision over the last 35 years. But Lord, we declare, Lord, you're changing our diet. You're changing our diet, Lord. You're changing our diet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want our church to be filled with both consumers and contributors. I don't want a church just to walk in on a Sunday morning and someone plops down and, man, I sure hope Karina sings the right song. I sure hope that pastor wearing his fancy little jeans, I sure hope he says the right kind of message. Come on, y'all, that's a consumer mentality. Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. Hey, there's nothing wrong with, that's part of my job or my role or my privilege, actually. But, man, I want to be a church that contributes as well. God, what can I do to you today? See, it's not about me all the time. Lord, it's about you. Hello? It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. So how can I contribute something to you, God? How can I bring, the Bible says that everyone that comes in on a Sunday morning, everyone should have a word. Everyone should have a song. Everyone should have a testimony. Everyone should have something to contribute. Now, we can't shove all that in a 2-plus hour service, but everyone should have something that God did to them, through them, or for them. That's your testimony. Amen? That's how you know your diet is changing, that you've shifted from being, oh, God, what can you do for me? God, what can you do for me? And said, God, what can I do for you? Amen? What can I do for you? Third thing, let's go to verse 13. Woo! It said, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, just a bonus item on this one. Isn't it interesting that Joshua had to get out of the camp at Gilgal in order to see God, we're going to read about it in just a second. Did you catch that? So it said, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, their camp was set up at Gilgal. That's where all the people were getting healed up from Joshua's circumcision event, his party, right? Joshua had to get outside the camp and go to a place near Jericho. He looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him. I'm in verse 13. Saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in one hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, are you friend or are you foe? In other words, are you for me or against me? I love how the Lord turns things. I love how the Bible just has an incredible sense of humor, and God has a sense of humor if you read into this. And this is his answer, neither one. Don't you hate that? Like, come on, like, are you with me? You're not with me. God just said, neither one. He replied, for I am the commander of the Lord's army. And at this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. And I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? Third thing I want you to write down is, now that we finally made it, God requires you and I to have a new vision. Got to have vision, y'all. You got to have vision that's alive, that's active. You got to have a vision that is spirit led. You got to have a vision for you and for your family and for your marriage. For you see, the same Lord that showed up at Moses at the burning bush is the same Lord that saved Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You remember that story? There was a fourth man. Somebody shout a fourth man. There was a fourth man in that fire, that bush that was burning but was not consumed. God always shows up in amazing ways. God always shows up. And so Joshua, he has this question as he's standing right in front of God himself. What am I supposed to do? We've crossed over. We're now standing in the promised land. God, what do you want me to do? So amazing. God appears and God gives him encouragement. God gives him direction. God says, God's going to help him. He's going to give him the why behind why I brought you here. God's going to give him the comfort of the knowing that God, I am with you. Isn't it good no matter what battle you and I face, God is with you. Right in the middle of your fire, God appeared to him. For you see, one of the amazing things that God did at that very moment that Joshua caught a glimpse of, that question he asked the Lord, what do you want your servant to do? He was asking for vision. He was asking God, what do you want me to do? In this moment right now, I left behind all the people that I'm leading. God, what do you want me to do? For you see, what Joshua saw were the walls of Jericho. I won't get into that this morning, but that's an incredible story if you want to keep reading on. He saw the walls of Jericho. He knew the battle, the enemy that he was going to face. And so sight is what you can see with your eyes open. Vision is what you see when your eyes are closed. So I believe vision is one of the most important commodities. It's one of the most powerful tools that you and I have when nothing looks like what you see in the natural to still have faith. Amen? Can I speak that over marriages this morning? When in the natural, it doesn't look like it's healthy and growing and moving forward. Can I speak that over your kids? When it doesn't look like in the natural, by your natural eyes, you can see your child that you trained up, you did it, everything you knew as a mom or a dad biblically, but they're still running from God. They're struggling with addictions. They're running from relationship to relationship. They're struggling financially. Can I tell you one of the most discouraging things is when you pour into someone and you pour into somebody, you pour into somebody, you pour into somebody, and you're not really sure they're getting it. In the natural, with your sight, you can say, man, Lord, have I missed it? Has anybody ever been there before? Where you feel like you're doing everything possible in the natural, but you don't see the fruit. They're doing actually the opposite of what you are speaking into them. Come on, kids, husbands, wives, co-workers, church folk, you name it. But hey, listen, Proverbs 29:18, and the Message version was pretty good. I grabbed this this morning, and I wanted to rehearse this verse. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. In other words, the other version is people perish for a lack of vision. I want to declare that over you all. I want to declare that over our church, that when you stop carrying vision, when you stop speaking words of faith, when you stop speaking words of vision, when you stop declaring what God is saying, you dry up. Can I give an example to all the folks that have ever married or have ever dated somebody? You know, when you're when you're dating someone and you believe that God has put them in him or her in your life, what do? Man, you go and you get fancy. You take a shower. You take a shower. You get a good bottle of cologne or perfume. You wear your best clothes. You go to a nice restaurant. You talk. You text. You FaceTime. You share. Hey, we're dating on Facebook. You change your status. You're super proud of finding the person, the man or the woman that God gave you. But when you're 15 years in your marriage, the question is, are you still doing that? I got one yes. Is that you, Mike Leonard? I don't even think you're 15 years in. How many years are you in? 28? Oh, yeah. Hey, that's awesome. Give that man a hand. Amen. Actually, give Dara a hand. I'm going to give her a wild applause. So, hey, I tell you what. There's something about us never learning how to stop dating. Amen. Marriages, long-term marriages. 28 years. My wife and I have been married 29 years. Quick show of hand in the room. How many of you have been married more than 30 years? I just want to honor you right now. I just feel like to honor you right now. Come on, stand on your feet real quick. Come on, just spontaneously. I'm going to stand on your feet. Come on, over 30 years. Come on, you can do better than that. Give these folks a big hand. Amen. All right, sit down. Some of y'all don't look a day over 30, so I don't know when you got married. How many know that there is a price on marriages? There's a price on men and women doing the things, having a vision, not just for their marriage, but let's talk about having a vision for your life. Speaking things, what dreams, what things are God's downloading on the inside of you that you're going to do, that you're going to become? There are seasons I know in my own personal life where I have felt like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but it feels like it's one step forward and two steps backwards. Nothing that you said, nothing that I've had in my heart, does it feel like it's happening. I went back and read a word from 1992. So I was roughly about 10 years old or so that's not true. From 1992, that Kevin Leal, who many of y'all know, and then there had been other Kevin was later, but there's a gentleman named Roger Teal that came through here, a prophet. And I went back and I found a word that was typed up. And in this vision that God had given this man, these men of God that I trust with their ability to see things in my life that I can't see in the natural, and I can't even hardly believe. Will you believe when I went back and read it, and they said, I see you being a shepherd. I see you leading people. I see you somehow in this house being able to pour life and strength and hope into people. Y'all, that is 28 years ago. It's just now coming to pass. It's just now happening. I lost the vision of that along the way because I hadn't rehearsed it. I hadn't put it in front of me. I didn't put a sticky on it. But deep down on the inside of me, I never forgot about it. Amen? I didn't know how. I didn't know when. I didn't know if even at sometimes. But God does. Amen? Come on, I want to encourage you this morning that you need to get a fresh vision from God. Amen? You need to get a fresh vision over your life, over your marriage, over your business. Some of y'all today are sitting on business ideas that God gave you 20 years ago. I'm serious. I felt in my heart as I was getting ready for this message, there are entrepreneurs, there's business owners in the sound of my voice this morning. You have not been pursuing. You've not been investing in yourself. You've not been researching. You've not been taking baby steps to say, God, I got a business idea and I want to move forward. I'm stirring you up this morning. I want you to have a fresh vision that you are not a slave to your reality. Did you hear that? You're not a slave to your reality. I know what it says. I know what it looks like in the natural, but I speak the supernatural over our church. I speak the supernatural over men and women that have incredible business ideas. For you see, it must be visible. You must write it down. You must record it. Chris Wall's back there. He blows my mind. He has every single word. He's so much better than me. He's got every single word on an MP3 file that has ever been spoken that he converted from text or from a cassette or from a written down, he converted to audio file. I said, show me your phone. He started scrolling all the way down. I don't know, how many words? How many? 20. 20 words that God has either spoken through somebody that he trusts or God has given him something that he rehearses, he writes down, and he listens to it. Hey, y'all, listen, faith, you have to stir up your faith. Are you listening? You have to stir up your faith. You have to make it plain. Habakkuk says it's the best. It says, write the vision plainly on tablets. Yes, that's just a joke. Just a joke. Write the vision plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. In other words, some folks, listen, some folks that you and I hang around. Some folks, they can never see what the finished product of a house looks like when there's only studs up. Did you hear me? So you got to be careful who you share your vision with. Because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of doubters that love to tear you down and tear your vision out. Well, you can't do that. Do you know how much money you're broke? Do you know what you're driving to church? Do you know your education? Do you know what color skin you have? Oh, they'll never loan you money. They'll never give you money. Oh, you want to open up a restaurant in that side of town? I know you got to have a vision, y'all. Come on, I'm speaking faith over somebody this morning. Come on, I don't want to be the borrower. I want to be the lender. Can I have an amen? I want us to be a lending church. I'm believing part of our vision as we step into it that we're going to start micro businesses out of this church. In the natural, I can't do it right now. We don't have the money. But in the supernatural, I'm just believing God that we're going to be able to seed men and women to have a business idea. It's going to be competitive. It's not going to be flaky, but it's going to be something that's got rigor to it, but it's got to be something that's going to bless the kingdom of God. Amen? I just want to speak a word over our house in terms of what God's going to be doing. That over our house, that Jubilee, we're going to be a Jesus-loving. I shared this at our leadership team the other day. We're going to be a Jesus-loving church. We're going to be a presence-driven church. We're going to be a supernatural church. We're going to be a life-giving church. We're going to be a soul-winning church, city-impacting, nation-reaching, kingdom-minded, prayerful, prophetic, worshipful church that cultivates and grows healthy relationships which create healthy people, marriages, and families. I speak that over our house this morning. Amen? We're going to write it down. We're going to make it plain. We're going to be able to, so that if someone asks you, what kind of church do you go to? And you can clearly say, this is the kind of church I go to. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's go to last one. So God is giving us a brand new vision for our future. Last one in Joshua 5, verse 15. Isn't it interesting that God went back to this experience? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. For the place where you are standing on it's holy. It's holy. Take off your shoes, Joshua, for you see the place where you are standing right now, it's holy. It's holy. So what did Joshua do? He did as he was told. Last thing I want you to write down. Now that we have made it over to the other side, God's people made it over to the other side. They crossed their Jordan. They survived with two people, the wilderness experience. They're camped at a place called Gilgal. They have obeyed God's word. They have had a fresh vision of who they are. They asked God to give them new provision, to feed them in a different way. God provided. The last thing that God did in Joshua 5 is that he gave Joshua a fresh encounter with God himself. I'm just telling you, church, if there's ever a time and a place and a time for us, in a season in our society, in a season in our walk, our marriage, our life, our church, whatever it may be, if there's ever a season for us to have fresh experiences in God, it's today. For you see, I don't want to be a part of the crowd, the I remember when crowd. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm thankful for it. I want to be a part of the crowd that says, God, what are you doing today? What are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing next week? God, what are you doing in the future? I want to be a part of the crowd that says, God, whatever you need to do to me or through me or for me, here I am. I want to know that, like Joshua, that I'm standing on holy ground. I take my shoes off because, God, this is holy ground. Amen? This is a place, God, where you are. Hey, and listen, God's not trapped in a box called 5910 North W Street. Are you with me? God's not trapped in this box. So that fresh experience, that fresh encounter with God has to happen in your home. It has to happen in your car. It has to happen at your workplace. That fresh experience with God, you have to draw strength from it. Because listen to me, church, we will never step into the promised land of what God has for us unless there is men and women that have fresh experiences with God. They have a fresh testimony about the power of God. They're having fresh vision over their life, their marriage, their home, their ministry. We will never step into everything that God's promised us unless you and I are doing it the way that God says. Can I have an amen? If you and I are doing it in our own strength, we will fail and we'll wear ourselves out. Have you noticed that? When you and I do things in our own strength, I get worn out. I get worn out. So today I want to make a declaration that we as a church, we will do it God's way. We will obey God's word. We will change our diet that God, that we're not no longer just going to be in survival mode, but God, we're going to be in thriving mode, amen? That God, that you're going to give us a download daily on a vision, who I am, where I'm going, what's my marriage say? God, you're going to show about my ministry. Everyone's called the ministry, amen? Everybody in the sound of my voice. Everybody. Who are you pouring into? Who are you preaching the gospel to? Who are you discipling? If I did a show of hands and I hand the microphone to you, you should be able to tell before God, hey, I am discipling this person. I am sharing my life, my knowledge of the word, even if you don't have a Bible degree. Amen? Everybody knows John 3:16. Start there. John 3:16. The last thing that we have to do as a church is that we have to have a fresh encounter with God every day. Every day, y'all. Every day. We'll never step into what God has. Part of that fresh experience, as I close, come on, worship team. Part of that fresh experience, I went back and I read it probably 100 times. And I just asked the Holy Spirit, this is my prayer over my life and over our church. I went back to Joshua 3. If you remember in that first message, I talked about it earlier. One of the commands from the Lord is, you have to purify yourself. You have to purify yourself. I've been speaking that over our house, that God, let us walk, not in perfection, but God, let us walk in purity. Amen. God, you don't expect perfection. We're flawed. All of us have failed. All of us have sin. But God, you expect us to walk in purity. So I'm challenging us this morning as a church, as we pursue the vision of God, the promises of God, as we're standing now on the other side, God, purify our lives like never before. Take the junk out of my life. I give you permission, God, to circumcise our hearts today. If that's your prayer, if that's your desire, if that's what you believe God requires, which it does, by the way, let's be that. Let's be God's people this morning. Let's do it God's way. Amen. I don't want to look like the world. I want to be in the world, but not of the world. Come on, stand to your feet. This is a challenging message this morning. It's not a huge shouting message, but it's a challenging message. It's a message that's either going to change us and challenge us, or you will remain where you're at. The only way that you and I grow, and I've said this before, healthy things grow. Let me say it again. Healthy things grow. So the question is, what are you pouring into your life, your marriage, you as a mom and as a dad, that's causing healthy growth in your life with your kids? I'm challenging us as men and women, whether you're young to the faith of God or whether you've been serving God for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. I'm challenging us to a place like never before to say, Holy Spirit, work on the inside of me. Work on the inside of me. Come on, right there in your seat. Will you just close your eyes? Come on, I feel the Holy Spirit just dropping in this room to deal, to work, to circumcise our hearts this morning. Father, today, Lord, you know the conditions of our hearts. For you see, God, you are omnipotent. And God, I declare, Lord, there is people, Lord, with their head bowed and their eyes closed that have been struggling. Lord, they have been wandering. But today, there is a God. Oh, there is a Savior. There is a rescuer. His name is Jesus. Man, I feel you on my heart. Somebody is embracing the love, the grace, the mercy, the saving knowledge that God is for you. Come on, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to make a simple ask right now. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, if you've never said, Lord, come into my life, I want to make you Lord, make you Savior. I want you to wipe away my past. I want you to wipe away my sin. I want you to cut off the baggage that I drug in on this Sunday morning. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Lord, I want to see you break cycles over my life today. Lord, I want to see you do the impossible over my relationships, over my marriage, my home. God, I want to see you do the supernatural, Lord, in my finances, God. Lord, I want to see you do the supernatural, God, in the destiny and the ministry, God, that you've called me to do. But first, I got to give my life to you. Is there somebody to be so bold with nobody looking around and say, Tim, that's me. I've got you on my heart. I've got you on my heart. Who are you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Today, I make a fresh decision. I want to make a commitment. Maybe you serve God. Maybe you knew God. But today, you're not serving God. You're running. You're backsliding. You're running from everything but what God has said over you. The vision that God gave you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But you have been running from it. And sin has gripped your heart. Sin has gripped your life, but today you want to make a change. Am I talking to anybody else this morning? Just lift your hand high. I want to see who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, you're good. God, you're good. God, you're good. Come on, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to be bold. I want you to meet me down front. We're going to have our ministry team come and pray for you. Come on, be bold. Come on, don't let your seat hold you back. Don't let pride, don't let your issues. Come on, meet me down front. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, ministry team. Will you rally around these folks right now? Come on, church, will you point your hand towards these amazing folks? Come on, we're going to pray over them, and then we're going to pray over our church. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray over these sons and these daughters, God. God, we give you praise, Father. Lord, they are coming back to a saving knowledge of who you are, that Jesus, you are Lord. And Father, we rejoice right now, God, that, Lord, they are making you Savior. Lord, they're making you rescuer, God. Lord, they're experiencing the depth, the width, the breadth of the love and the grace of God. And Lord, I declare, God, Lord, we as a church, come on, point your hands. Father, we as a church, God, we declare that they are free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you are free. You are free. Come on, I need a young lady down here praying for her. You are free. Come on, if you want to slip out of your seat right now, meet me down front. Come on, let's just fill in around the rest of these folks. Come on, we're just going to say a corporate declaration, a corporate prayer. Come on, meet me down front. Let's go. Come on, we as a church, we're going to say a corporate dedication about who we are, about a vision over our house. In Jesus' name. Church, I want you to come forward. This is your opportunity right now. Fill in behind them. Come to the altars. Yes, Lord.